Well, let's pray. Lord, would you bless now our time in the Word? Lord, give us exactly what you would have for us this morning. Just bless this time of fellowship. Lord, we're just thankful for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are following the book here in its progression, looking at how to see your life become the beautiful life that God wants it to be through right choices. And really, the book could be called Making Right Choices. That's really the theme of this book. And it's a very important concept because really, our lives are what we choose to do with them. We're a series of choices. And let me review a little bit what we talked about last couple of times. Choices really get down to steps of faith and steps in the flesh. If you really want to get down to the spiritual perspective, you're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You either in God's will, or you by default maybe moved out of God's will by just doing what you felt was the best thing. And so the word walk is used over and over in the New Testament regarding our Christian life on the basis of choices that we make. And we need to walk by faith. Now let me just review that. Faith is not having faith. That's just an emotion. Faith is a distinct trust in a specific truth. And faith even in the secular realm. You believe something to be true and you act on based upon what you were told. Faith, when it comes to biblical faith, is the different specific truths of God's Word. You trust them to be true, and then you take you make a choice to believe that it will be the right way to go and trust God to empower you to accomplish it. That's faith. And that's when God's grace kicks in. Now, faith often flies in the face of normal thinking, the world's thinking. Many times you will have to make a choice that you would not have made normally, but that's what the Bible tells you to do. In fact, growth in the Christian life is making a series of choices that are biblically based, not humanly based. So, keeping that in mind, the second chapter is entitled Seven Steps for Making Right Choices. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs 14:1. Here we have the overall perspective on how important it is to make the right choices. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And so choices that we make build up or they tear down. And oftentimes the choices that we make come at times that are very difficult in our life, and they either head us into spiritual blessing or we make fleshly choices in which that's where we tear down when we walk in the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. So, anyway, keeping that in mind, some very practical things here, the seven steps of wisdom. When you're facing a choice, and by the way, you'll make a lot of little choices today. You made a choice to be here, okay? You made a choice to do a number of things. And each of those are important, but it's those key choices that we're talking about. When you're faced with a major choice, step number one is stop. Interesting point, but that is exactly right. When you are going through life and everything seems to be going well, and then all of a sudden things start happening that are negative, or you're faced with a relationship issue, or you're faced with a hard problem, our tendency is to react immediately and make a choice based upon our reaction in any type of area. I mean, that's just the normal thing we do. We will make knee-jerk choices. And the knee-jerk choices in our life are ones that sometimes we can regret for a lifetime. And so this, I couldn't agree more, this step of stopping. Don't say anything. Don't make a choice until you can get a hold of God's will. This is especially true when you're tempted to say something, to make a choice to react to someone. Or you have almost, you're put under great pressure to buy something, to make a directional change, and you're feeling, it sort of comes at you. Stop. Don't make a choice in the pressure of the moment. Now, obviously, if your house is on fire, call 911. Okay. Don't stop. Get with the program. Something happened, we're not talking about that. But we're talking about choices where you have the option to do a couple of things. And believe me, I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord, your natural feelings will be the first thing to come to fore. You know, to want to buy something, or to feel pressured to do something, or to feel pressured to say something negatively, or to react to circumstances with your children and make a decision right then about what they should do. And in every case, the initial reaction is it's almost always wrong. Some of the greatest regrets, if you think about it, were the choices you made through the years at the moment. If you had stopped and let God work, you would have made a different choice. Oh yeah, it's right now, it's today. Yeah, no, you're right. And that, you certainly can see that in sales. You know, do not go to a timeshare sales thing, even though they promise to give you a $200 whatever. You know, you cannot, don't ever make choices based upon human pressure one way or the other. If you'll look with me at some verses that I think are very helpful, you're in Proverbs. Go over to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet, what? Sinneth. Proverbs 15:28, back a couple of chapters there. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pour out evil things. In other words, the righteous person stops and endeavors to get wisdom. Now, in relationships in particular, we can get hurt very quickly. We can perceive something. And I'm telling you, every time you say something when you are riled up, you are sorry. That is never, never, never in the spirit. And so when I'm teaching premarriage counseling, one of the things that I'll talk about with communication is that you got to solve problems. When something happens during the day and you're hurt and you can't get it figured out, you've got to communicate that. That's absolutely important from Ephesians chapter 4. But to do it right at the moment of reaction is always a bad thing. You've got to stop and allow God to change your heart and to get wisdom on how to communicate, which means you've got to learn to have personal revival quickly. If you've been away from God for weeks, when you're faced with a key crisis, are you going to be equipped to make the right choice? Absolutely not. That's why you got to walk with God every day. Because I don't care if you've had great time with the Lord in the morning, you can have something hit you. Person says something, you're in a stress situation, and your immediate response is still there. But if you have walked with God that day, you can stop, pull back, and let God change your whole perspective. you can take away a lot of the injury and problems that multiply in life by this first point. And if you get nothing else from the day, the word stop, okay? If you weren't planning on buying something and you're in a store and you just feel the urge to do it, stop. Leave the store. Get some counsel. Look through your wallet. Do not bring out your credit card. You probably can't buy it. And walk away, okay? Do everybody hear me? Okay. It's right that time of year. But that would just be perfect. If you don't have it, don't borrow it. Sunday night I gave this little lecture at church, but I really encourage you. You say, well, we won't have much of a Christmas. Oh, yes, you will. You'll feel a lot better than having a credit card bill coming up. Oh, I'm telling you, January is really a really fun month for pastors that have to face all of the people with their credit cards. We try to eliminate that as much as possible. But the big thing there is, I mean, you may need to buy it, but the point is stop. In anything you do, don't ever, see, the flesh wants you to do something now. And the spirit will always hold you back to make the right decision. And so that's very important. And so the second point is wait. Stop and wait. The two go together and they merge, as is said here. And so once you stop before doing something, you buy yourself time for the process of deciding to do something or maybe nothing. But the waiting and knowing, you know, you learn that, you know, you have something hit you and you could easily make the wrong choice. You stop. You don't let yourself do it. Well, you're stopping to do what? Wait a little bit. And to think it through, ask God for wisdom and grace, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. And so you just need to get into that habit. I don't know about you, but I like to get things done. You know, decide. Let's move forward. I'm just in leadership, that's what you have to do. But a lot of times that'll get you in trouble. Sometimes you have to say, I don't know what to do. The Spirit of God hasn't given me clarity. I've got to think through what is the wisdom in this situation. So it may take a little bit of time to think it through. Definitely in talking to your spouse, talking to your children, when you're upset, wait. Because I guarantee you give yourself a little time, and we're going to talk about how to approach it, you will have a totally different choice of what you do. You may choose to do nothing because it's purely your reaction and you don't have to communicate. Or you may have to communicate because you have misunderstanding, but you're going to totally approach it from an angle that will change the whole perspective. It'll be for edifying, not for defending or proving something. And there's many other choices. How do you use your time? Do you get involved in something? Men trying to decide, do I move my entire family somewhere else for a job? And they'll make a knee-jerk reaction because the job is so good. But the ramifications of a move for children and, you know, what about ministry that you're going to be involved in? What is God's will? Do you really know that this job is better than the one that you have? What about that location? You know, this is a whole course of your life. But men do it in a moment and wives just get caught, you know. Whereas if a man will take some time, employers will almost always, if they're good employers, will say, yes, take the time and let us know in a few days. And after you look at it for a few days, you may realize, whoa, this isn't God's will at all. And that happens a lot of times. So decisions you make on the spot, unless they're emergency decisions that have to be made, almost always are decisions that you regret. Because you don't, and you know, it may be an okay decision, but you don't have that confidence that God led you. And anything you do is going to have issues with it. You know, it's just life. And so if you don't have confidence that you made a really God-honoring decision, you just don't know, then when the problems come, you don't have confidence that God's going to help you. Now, God will help you anyway, but there is that sense of uncertainty that comes. Yes, Betsy.
I was just thinking about
Right. Yeah, that's. Yeah, that was the key decision for him, and it made a lot of sense for him to take the move down south to where he was going to go. But God had him in that church. He became the key lay assistant to the pastor there, and every one of his kids are in the ministry today. Yeah, they made that big move years ago, and God really did bless all of that. So yes, that is so important. So waiting gives you the time to study how to answer, as we saw in Proverbs 15:28, just to take a deep breath and get clarity. Haven't you found when you step back on about anything, you start thinking differently then? Now, sometimes there's steps of faith that you ought to take. For instance, if God prompts you to witness to somebody, you need to do that when you know it's the Holy Spirit. But when it's a human pressure, that's when you got to stop and step back.
I know some people, they would have coffee. She and her husband would have coffee after supper every night, and they would talk over the issue of the day. You know, so whatever came up during the day, she would bite her tongue until the day came up. And you know, you do change your mind sometimes.
Oh, almost always you do. Or at least you get, and you know what? You oftentimes don't have all the facts. Our perceptions. Give people the benefit of the doubt. The way you want to be treated, treat other people. Because don't you want to be properly understood? Well, you know, our first reactions, I found I'll read into things. And if I have to, that's why you just don't make an evaluation. You step back, give people the benefit of the doubt, love believeth all things. I'd rather be on the naive side. I don't need to think evil. And so you just stop and let God clear it up for you. It just changes everything. So these first two points, stop and wait. With the pressures you got coming with the holidays, this may be very timely for some of you. So at the tables when we're done, remind everybody before you leave, stop, wait. You know, don't let yourself say something, do something with a knee-jerk reaction. Yes. Well, God can give wisdom clearly, but I wouldn't do anything unless there is that peace inside. If there's constraint, I'd rather miss a Craigslist thing than, especially if it has any amount of money involved in it. Offer on a house, it's difficult, but, you know, God can keep that house for another few hours or another day if you just aren't sure about certain things. And that's part of seeing God work. When in our recent move, I waited, 50 days thinking that's going to be gone, and God held it, you know, which was part of how I knew it was the right thing. It was hard to wait. And so that's a good point. Sometimes you have to strike at the right time, but God gives you wisdom to strike, and you know it's not your impulse to do it. So sometimes you can make a quick decision because a quick decision is needful. It many times can be a faith-filled decision, but you know it. And usually your husband, in your case, or those closest to you, know it too. And you get quick advice, and then you can do it. But you never do it because of pressure. Oh, we'll lose this. Well, lose it. You know, that's how you have to approach it. So that's a good question. All right, so what are the first two points? Everybody got it? It's good, isn't this good at Christmas time? I mean, how many of you still have shopping left? Yeah, I want you to appreciate the amount of money I just saved you. So, anyway. All right. Well, in the process of stopping and waiting, step number three is search the Scriptures. And so it is very important. And here's the thing, we want counsel, which is good. We rush to the phone. We don't have to rush to the phone, we grab it out of our pocket. different day. But anyway, we rush to the phone and we want to get advice, But you know, if it is something that's an important decision, why not get counsel from God first? That's stopping and waiting. And then now you may need somebody to direct you to the scripture because you may not know what to look at. But just sit down and let God take scriptures that you know and think it through. Is this really right priority? Is this covetousness? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying, and to give grace to the hearer, there in Ephesians chapter 4. Let no bitterness or wrath or anger or clamor be, or evil speaking and malice, none of that come out of your mouth. Be filled with the Spirit, which we're going to see here as we look at this. Is this a spiritual thing to do? Allow the scripture to be your first opinion. You know, and then when you try to get counsel, it needs to be word-filled, spirit-filled people. What do teenagers do when they want counsel? They'll go to somebody that thinks like they do. And you know, adults aren't a whole lot different. If you really want something, but you're going to get counsel, you pick the person that you're pretty sure will agree with you to counsel with. We're really slick, you know. But not that person that's going to make you really think it through. And the person that really makes you think it through is usually a person that is word-filled, that wants to make sure it is biblical and is the right thing. The law of the Lord is perfect and right, and that's where you want to go. And let me just say, that's why you want to study the scripture on a regular basis. You need to have a reservoir of understanding. You need to have resources by the way, for instance, just that book, I think we sell it in the bookstore, the book that's a topical study of Proverbs. Wow, what a help. Go right to those different topics and you get all of those Proverbs that are on that topic. That's a great resource to have right there at hand. Or take a simple concordance and take the subject that you're burdened about and take a few minutes. The scriptures, you may not find a perfect one for it, but just being in the scripture, the Holy Spirit can calm your heart and begin to give you some direction, and just the enlightenment from scripture itself makes a huge amount of difference for you. It's important to take time with the Lord. And that brings to the final step we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the other three in our next time together. Pray. Stop, wait, search the scriptures, and pray. Search the scriptures and praying helps you with the waiting process. In other words, you're not just sitting there. You're doing something. You know, as Michelle mentioned about buying a house, that's a big deal. That's worth searching the scripture and praying. In other words, looking at principles, what's the best thing? How is this going to handle? Have you ever noticed that when you have pressure to buy something that it is always above what you were planning? Have you noticed that? Everything is never cheaper. You've got to be very careful about that. We can talk ourselves into anything. And honestly, making a bigger purchase may take a long time to get it right because you want to have conviction, God let us. And so what you've got to do is to spend time to pray and to really seek the Lord honestly. Are you listening to Him? And you say, well, prayer is talking with God. Somebody the other day said, how do I approach God in prayer about this? I can't remember exactly what it was. And I said, and we had just been talking about it. I said, you know how you just talked to me, trying to get my counsel? Turn that to Him. Just talk like that. Lord, I'm mixed up. I don't know what to do here. You know, I really, in fact, I'm a little frustrated. He is wanting to hear from you. Isn't that wonderful? Just sit down and talk to Him. Lord, I need help. I'm mixed up on this. But Lord, I'm not going to do anything unless I have direction from you. I am not going to move until I have peace in my soul, and I'm just going to trust you. If I don't get it, I'm not doing it. And talk to Him about, you know, Lord, what would be the reasons not to do this? And scriptures might come to mind. Why should I do it? What happens if I don't? and so on. And, you know, if it's relationship issues and you got upset, that's going to be pretty quick. You're going to know the scriptures on that one. No, I should not say that. I should not react that way. I don't need to bring that up. I don't need to defend myself, Lord. Just, you know, Lord, calm my heart about that. I need to make this edifying, and Lord, help me see it. And, you know, isn't it wonderful to have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? I mean, that's what prayer is all about. Just unburden your heart, spend time. So your waiting really merges into Scripture and to prayer. The whole thing flows. What you're doing is stopping and going to God. If you want to summarize those three points, you're going to Him, and the thing you need to say, and my wife and I do that, unless we have a conviction this is right, we ain't. You know, I got to have peace. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatever of impulse is normally what? Sin, because it's flesh, not spirit. You're not waiting. You say, but I might. Well, in most cases, you can wait. If it's an emergency, God can give you peace really quickly. And that will be good. There are sometimes hard directional choices you got to make, choices about philosophy of child rearing. You need to take some real good time to study that through and to really communicate with your spouse, communicate with those that you trust, and get a hold of what is right. But be very careful about a fleshly, impulsive choice. All right, so that's the first four, which are, in my opinion, two. Stop and go to the Lord. And don't do anything until you get direction. And you know, let me just say this in conclusion. Don't just leave this for the big ones. You know, little stuff. You know, it's just wonderful when God guides you. And just let Him do it. And it's just a lot of little things that... Be careful of just talking real fast to somebody, even if it's not, you're upset. Did I really need to say that? And by the way, you never need to say something negative about somebody else unless you're part of the problem or part of the solution. Stop. Don't ever immediately learn to stop if you're going to say something about somebody else. Is this really right? Is this biblical? Boy, that'll save you a lot of heartache. And that can be done without a lot of emotion. We just are, you know, or... Huh, I want to turn on the TV. Oop, maybe stop. Maybe that's not the best choice right now. By the way, well, I'm not going to get on that. But there are a lot of choices and a lot of time wasters and a lot of things that aren't edifying. Get into that trusting the Lord to make the right choice.